Welcome to Let's Talk About Tests Baby, a weekly podcast about software testing, QA processes, agile, and other general geekery. My name's Jem Hill, and I'll be your host. Hello listeners, welcome to episode 18. I assume you all saw the totally deliberate mistake I made in last week's episode when I titled it episode 27 on Libsyn. I have fixed that, but I don't know quite how it works, whether you have to, I assume you'd have to re-download or resubscribe or something, but either way, it was pointed out to me by Mike Bell that I'd skipped 10 episodes somewhere along the line, so apologies for that. Did you all know, listeners, that the 9th of September was apparently software testing, National Software Testing Day? Because I didn't until the 9th, and that is because a story that I'd heard before, but I'd kind of forgotten about, but was reminded of it again, which is on the 9th of September, back in the 1940s, Admiral Grace Hopper was working on a computer at Harvard, and the computer was not doing its thing. And when they figured out what was wrong with it, it was because there was a moth inside the computer. And so they were actually debugging the computer calculator thing. And I think the bug is, or the moth, is still actually, it was preserved for a bit. I don't know if it's still preserved. It was in like a museum at Harvard and stuff, which I found was great. Apparently it's not the first use of the term bug and debugging, but it's what's credited as being popularised by that event and by Grace Hopper describing removing the moth from the computer as debugging it. And that is why September the 9th is apparently National Software Testers Day. And I love that story. I think it's great, brilliant that language came together and that sort of circumstances came together to provide that wonderful, not pun, but kind of pun, yeah. So I hope you all had a wonderful National Software Testers Day. And now on to the episode proper, in which I want to talk about duals, because they're very useful. And it's nice to hear what other people use and telling other people how you use it, because then that's how you get tips and kind of new ideas for new processes and how you do things. So it's good to share. So yes, tools of the trade. I am a manual tester, as the majority of you I'm sure know by now. So my tools are kind of, they're much more focused on organisation and tracking as opposed to debugging in the sort of very code-based kind of way and digging into the code and stuff. So most of my tools come from the Atlassian suite of tools, because that's what we use at work. So Jira, Confluence are the main two things that I use personally, but we also use like Stash and things like that. So Confluence is a document repository, and it is supposed to be an incontrovertible source of truth about projects and the company. And so I like referring to that a lot. I try to update whenever I can if there's something wrong there, because I want it to keep being the incontrovertible truth, and documentation's a living thing. You have to be constantly updating and changing, and every time you notice there's something wrong, make a little change. And Confluence makes that fairly easy, so that's quite nice. Jira is used for pretty much everything else. Tracking tickets, tracking time, allocating resource. I manage my test sessions through that. So yeah, clients as well as the business have access to it. The clients have access to their specific project, because you can get quite granular in the permissions in Jira. And then bugs and stories are created and tasks are created there and tracked and assigned through that. And then as a track time, you can track allocation. So you can drag sprints of work into people's calendar so you can see what they'll be working on in the future, and you can plan the work out like that, which is quite nifty. And I manage my tests that way, my test sessions. And Jira has a nice plugin as well, which I use to attach screenshots and things to tickets and books and stories. So that's my main tool or set of tools for work. I keep trying to get clients to use things like Jira Capture, but some do, some don't. HipChat is probably my next most used tool, just because it's nice to be able to talk to people without getting up and going and finding them. And it's fun. And quite flexible with like having different rooms for different things and permissions within those rooms. And also it's nice to be able to talk to a developer without necessarily breaking their concentration entirely. So I can just send them a message going, let me know when you're free so I can have a word if I've got time to do that, if it's not like urgent and things like that. So that's quite nice. And it's sometimes nice just to have an informal record of a conversation if you know it's something that you might need to go back to later. I've searched conversations quite a bit to if I've needed to find a way of a method of doing things that developers told me over HipChat. It's nice to be able to refer back to those via that search. And it's useful for working remotely because you've still got that real-time communication without having to call into the office and get people on speakerphone. And that's generally, you know, you can talk to a group of people in real time when you're not in the office, which is also quite useful. And there's apps for phones and things, so even when people are travelling, they can still talk to you on HipChat and stuff. The only downside of that is if you have it on your phone and someone sends you a message, sometimes it's hard to turn off, but that's a personal thing rather than HipChat. I just need to get more willpower and stop being a control freak. Sublime Text is my editor of choice when I do need to use that. Most of the time it's for things like XML files that I need to be looking at and things like that. I don't use anywhere near the number of plugins and things that you can do. I know it's quite powerful, but I don't need it to be. I just need a nice, neat way of viewing certain files and looking at certain things, and Sublime does that for me. Selenium is the closest I get to full-on automated testing, which I use occasionally. I like to try and use it more regularly, even if it's outside of work, just to keep up with it and make sure that my skills are still up to date. So it's quite nice to have that about. So sometimes I'll just be doing that over the weekend. GhostLab is one of my favourite tools for automating the checking that I do. GhostLab is a way of synchronising browsers and browsers on devices. So you can set, it works like by going through a proxy. So you can set up all the browsers you want. You can even get virtual machine browsers to work with it. It took a bit of faffing for me to get Windows through VirtualBox to work, like Internet Explorer on certain versions of Windows via VirtualBox to work with GhostLab, but it can be done. And so whatever's done on one browser is replicated across all the other browsers that you've got hooked into GhostLab, including the ones on devices. So if you are doing some visual checks, or if you need to check a bit of functionality across browsers, like we have a couple of clients and you have to test in certain browsers on certain versions of things, it's nice to be able to do that all in one go, as opposed to go through and test everything individually. So if I do need to do a big chunk of browser and device testing, that GhostLab's perfect for that. I know some of the developers use a browser stack too, but I prefer GhostLab, I think. It's just because it's actually shown on the actual devices, you use the physical devices, which is nice because sometimes using emulators and just making the screen smaller and stuff, I don't think it gives you the same experience. Because obviously you can't do the touch if the laptop's not touchscreen, which mine isn't. So I think using the actual devices, as I've said before, is really useful. And so GhostLab lets you do that whilst testing four devices at the same time. So it's great. It's, like I said, one of my favourite tools for that sort of stuff. And I highly recommend it. As mentioned, VirtualBox is how I do my virtual machines if I need to test certain versions of Internet Explorer. I use VirtualBox on the Mac. Paper. My paper notepad means a lot to me. I got out of the habit of writing paper to-do lists. I was using Trello for a while, and I do like Trello, but there's something about writing things down that sometimes it seems to make things clearer when I write them down. Like, even if it's just literally writing down my to-do list, even compared to having it all in Trello, just something about writing it down, something about that physical act means that I'm more likely to, one, remember the things I need to do, feel a lot better about being able to do all of those in the time, especially if I've got a lot on for whatever reason, if I'm coming up to a few deadlines. Just being able to write out by hand what I need to do is something that, it's so calming. It makes me go, no, actually, that's fine. I can totally do all this. And I recently came across a way of journaling by hand called Bullet Journal, and I don't use all the features of that way of journaling because it covers things like events, and I don't really have events very often and things like that. But it's structured enough that you're following a structure and there's a method to it that you can engage with, and it's easy to look back on and you know exactly what each thing needs. And it's easy enough to get into that you can, it takes 5 minutes to get the method into your head. But it's not so overly structured and formal that it feels like a chore writing it out. And I find it really helpful. So that's what I've been doing recently. I've got back into it over the past couple of weeks or so. And I think this is probably going to be how I'm going to be writing out to-do lists now. I'm not going to go back to Trello. I think the act of writing it down on paper is quite pleasing and satisfying to me, even with my terrible handwriting. One last little shout out for Google Calendar, because this is what we use at work. And I have it open constantly in a pinned tab. I have 3 pinned tabs constantly in my browser. It is the dashboard on Jira, which I've customised, so I know exactly what I need to do. It is my timesheet, so I can make sure that I'm up to date with logging my time, and Google Calendar. This is for me, for my reference, for my calendar, and because I will stalk people's calendars a lot, whether it's because I need other people's calendars because I need to slot a meeting in, or someone's not on HipChat, they're not at the desk, I want to know if they're in the office or if I need to go find someone else who can answer this question, or if I need to postpone something or anything like that. So I stalk people's calendars at work quite a bit, and I do a lot of meetings, and Google Calendar just makes both of those really easy. So shout out to Google Calendar. And I have been known to forget that I had meetings until the little 10-minute pop-up shows up going, you've got a meeting in 10 minutes. So it has saved my life a few times as well. So that's it. Those are all my tools that I use on a day-to-day basis. There are probably ones that I use on a less day-to-day basis that I've not thought about including here, but those are the main tools that I use, as I pointed out at the top, mostly for organising things, whether that be myself, other people, projects. Pretty much a lot of the tools that I use are organisational tools. But that's cool because I enjoy organising things. As always, I really am interested in how other people manage their testing if they are exploratory / manual testers, like how they manage their test sessions and mind mapping, which I still haven't got into outside of writing down notes on a piece of paper. I've not really done the whole online mind mapping test planning thing, which I really want to get into and I've just not had time. So I am really interested in hearing what people use and how and why, and so link me to things and throw recommendations my way, and feel free to tell me that obviously I'm doing everything wrong. And I'm going to wrap it up here this week, and I'm going to do something different. I'm not amazingly happy with the outro, and I know other people agree with me as well. So I'm just going to finish it. I'm just going to wrap it up more naturally and stick a little bit of music on the end and do that from now on, I think. So that was this week's show. All the show notes will be on the website, letstalkabouttests.xyz. If you want to get in contact with me, there is a contact page or an about page on the website. There is also, you can email at letstalkabouttests@gmail.com. I'm on Twitter at letstalktests. If you want to talk to me not through that, my Twitter account is at gem_hill. So yeah, get in touch and I will see you next week. Bye.